The story that everybody is talking about, not just in New York, but literally around the world, has to do with this world exclusive that was published Sunday in the Daily Mail. Ghislaine Maxwell tells all from inside her U.S. prison cell. Lo and behold, the journalist that that did this story is a friend of mine and a former guest on this show, documentarian, author, and journalist Daphne Barak. Daphne, it was great to see you Friday morning. Thank you and Bill for buying breakfast, number one. And number two, congratulations on all the story, all the attention the story is getting.
I know, Frank. You know, Bill and I did tip you off over Bloody Mary's early Friday, right?
Yes, I will tell folks, so my reputation is secure, your Bloody Marys were Virgin Marys. Mine, of course, were not.
Well, you know, nobody's perfect, right? But,
all right, so
we are not anti-alcohol, just
to
know, right?
Duly noted. Daphne, this is an incredible, incredible story. First of all, for people that may not know about Ghislaine Maxwell and her history and only know her as a player in this Jeffrey Epstein story and know about her through her arrest and prosecution, who is Ghislaine Maxwell? And more importantly, I guess, who was she prior to this Jeffrey Epstein case and her arrest?
Ghislaine is a youngest daughter of nine of a media tycoon, Robert Maxwell. Since we are talking about New York, Robert Maxwell actually saved the Daily New York Daily News of New York, which was the biggest paper at the time, but of course had money problems. He bought it in 1991, otherwise it would collapse. And he was the biggest hero of New York. He was invited everywhere. He owned the Daily Mirror. He owned the European, everything. And a few months later, he suddenly was found dead off his yacht, which was called Ghislaine, on his youngest daughter. And at the beginning, it was a huge tragedy, which, of course, it's a tragedy when everybody dies. But a few days later, it was revealed that he wasn't a billionaire like people thought. He owed lots of money. And in order to keep floating, he stole the pensions of his employees, which was horrific. And the UK law was changed afterward that you cannot really, as of Maxwell, as of 1991, you cannot touch anymore the 401k of your employees. And I met Ghislaine, Frank, when I did the only interview with her, the only television interview with her ever. I didn't know it would be that big, of course, at the time, because at the time, Rupert Murdoch, I was the interviewer of Fox 5, and I was syndicated worldwide, and Rupert Murdoch asked me to do it, to do the first interview with her mother, Betty Maxwell, the widow of Robert Maxwell, for the first anniversary of his death, which was November 29 years ago, November 1992, we flew Betty from UK to New York. I asked, you'd love that. I asked Donald Trump, who owns a plaza in New York, to give us a discount because, as you know, that's why Rupert is so wealthy. He always likes to save money. And after we flew her, the budget was almost zero. Donald was extremely gracious. We put her in a beautiful suite. And when we met her, her youngest daughter, Ghislaine, joined us because she was already in New York. She wanted to help her mother, and she filmed with us as well. That's why the only interview with Ghislaine is at the plaza, which was owned by Trump, and the next door Central Park.
So your relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell and her family goes back nearly three decades. So it makes sense that if she was going to do one interview from prison, that it would be with you. So you guys clearly go back a ways. Now, I'm going to go through some of the things that that she revealed to you in this this interview, which is published by the Daily Mail. I'm going to link to it, if people haven't read this, on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. But before we go into what she said, which was pretty interesting, I'm curious if you can give us an idea of what the time frame was for your conversation or conversations with her. Did these conversations occur a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, 6 months ago? Can you give us an idea of the time frame?
We cannot give too many details because, you know, she has enough restriction as it is, as you saw in the quotes from Ghislaine, is the first time, her own words from jail. By the way, my relationship don't go three decades. Yes, it was 29 years ago. I saw Ghislaine then, and then I saw her a few years later. At the time when I saw her, you'll love that, Frank, she said she didn't have any money. She lost everything, which was true. And she said that she was living in a very small studio, toilet size, around 67th Street, Upper East, in New York. She said, in a toilet-sized apartment, which was given me by a friend called Jeffrey. Who would have known? And then she came. She called me 2-3 years later and came to see me for another interview, just to help her brother, the brothers Kevin and Ian Maxwell, which are being interviewed to our CBS Paramount Plus series. Which is ITV in UK, but here at CBS Paramount Plus, were facing a big trial. They were accused of all the charges that their father did, and they were acquitted. So basically, after these two interviews, I have not kept any. I've not kept in touch. It was 3 months ago when Susan Zirinsky, which is the first woman ever to be the president of CBS News and a very good friend of Bill and I, called me and asked me to sort of lead the interviews of this new series of CBS Paramount Plus, which called Ghislaine. And I wanted to think about it because it's so toxic, made a few phone calls. And when I realized how badly she's treated, and I talked to her family, I said to Susan, okay, I'm in. So that's a...
Okay, well, so let's get into what she said here. And if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Daphne Barak. She's an international interviewer and executive producer. She has interviewed everybody from Michael Jackson to Ghislaine Maxwell and everybody in between. And I had the opportunity to have lunch with or have breakfast with her and Erbil Gunasti, who's been a guest on this show before. He's directed a lot of the great interviews, a lot of the great documentaries that Daphne's interviews have been featured in. So, Daphne, in this discussion that you quote her in, she describes some pretty gruesome treatment. She's being held here in Manhattan at the Metropolitan Detention Center. She spent the last 16 months in solitary confinement. Now, why is she in solitary? Is that meant to be punitive or protective?
Well, I guess it's meant to be protective, but it is very punitive. You just imagine, Frank, you and I and Bill here next to me are so social. Just imagine to be isolated 24/7 for more than 500 days. What this family feel and what Ghislaine feel is that basically she's being punished because Jeffrey Epstein. By the way, she has not dated Jeffrey Epstein after 2003 or four. She has been living with a billionaire called Ted Wide in San Diego, and then she got married to this guy who's much younger, Scott, in Massachusetts. So Jeffrey Epstein is really, really her past. But they feel that because Jeffrey Epstein died, and there are many theories, Frank, as they said, he killed himself. But many people don't believe he killed himself in the most secure prison in America, but as they feel that only when he died, they needed to go after somebody, and they went after her. And I want you, Frank, and your audience to notice that she was not charged for anything as long as Jeffrey was alive. Her attorneys were in touch with the authorities. She was not charged. When Jeffrey died, her brother, Kevin, was very concerned, and he asked a friend of him, which is the head of a security company, Matt Hallier, to take over. And basically, they told her, leave the country. We want you to leave the country immediately. Ghislaine refused. She could have avoided all the situation. She could have taken the first flight out, private jet or commercial flight, and leave the country. She refused. And then, as you remember, Frank, there was a very, very long period of 11 months that everybody was looking for Ghislaine. She was the most hunted woman in the world. But she was escaping not the authorities. She was escaping the media. And frankly, because many people thought that Jeffrey Epstein was killed, she knows a lot. And she was also running away from a potential killer.
Yeah.
So that's the idea. Bill wants me to remind your audience that, as the Daily Mail said, more updates and more information would come daily on our NFT, which the link is www.og2d.com. Again, www.og2d.com.
OG2D.com. Talk with Daphne Barak about the Ghislaine Maxwell situation. If you haven't followed this case, it's pretty interesting. She is being accused of procuring and abusing young girls in concert with and on behalf of billionaire financier Jeffrey Epstein. She has denied these charges vehemently, and jury selection has begun for her trial here in New York today. So, Daphne, let's talk about what she says in this article. How about in terms of food? What kind of diet has she been enjoying in the Metropolitan Detention Center for the last 16 months?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not keto and not Atkins. it's horrific. And to commend her after this treatment, she still didn't lose her sense of humor. And don't forget one thing, Frank. Ghislaine Maxwell has not been charged yet. She's presumed innocent unless...
Well, she hasn't been convicted yet. Right. She is
exactly
entitled to a presumption of innocence. Absolutely.
Like all of us. And this is part of the American Constitution.
Until a week ago.
Yeah, she right. wasn't even charged until a couple
right.
of weeks ago.
Right.
They didn't know what the charges, who are the charges. Yeah. So that bothers me. Now, people told me, you know, there are hundreds of inmates who have not been charged in America. Many of them are poor or African-American. They cannot afford a proper representation, legal representation. And Ghislaine says, well, that may be good that it's happening to me. It's horrible, but maybe because of me, we are highlighting the situation that people in America, we are supposed to be the biggest democracy in the world, just sit in jail forever before they're even being charged of anything and being treated as if they were convicted, which is horrible. So her diet is, as she said, rice and beans, beans and rice, rice and beans, beans and rice. There's no nutrition. She said mayonnaise a bit for fat. And she got an apple with maggots, and she got a piece of bread which was so wet, full of water, that the water was just going out. Now she said that she cannot take showers because she used to take a shower daily, but the guards are just there watching her so closely, and so it's so creepy that she cannot do that. She used to go to the toilet. There was an open sewer, so there was what she said, quote unquote, a friendly rat there, and she tried to complain, and nothing happened. And
now, this rat, just to for sake of clarity, this rat is not a cooperating witness. This is an actual rodent.
Yeah,
got
exactly,
it.
Exactly. And until the rat actually bites one of the guards, there was nothing being done. And then she said something which, for me, the most horrific thing is that she was laughing one day and the guard didn't like it. And he said, "Who do you think you are? Why are you laughing? I'll teach you a lesson. I'll make sure that you will not be able to see your lawyer for 1 month." Now, thank God it didn't happen. But things about her, she's trying to prepare for a trial and she's being threatened not to see her lawyers and she's not allowed to call anybody or complain, right? And every few hours she's being searched in the most intimate parts of her body, and sometimes it's completely hurting. And what is she being searched for? She's in isolation. She's in a confinement, in a solitary confinement. So she doesn't see anybody anywhere.
Well, I mean, I guess the people on the other side of that argument will say we have to make sure that, that the Jeffrey Epstein situation with a mysterious suicide, every precaution is taken to make sure that that doesn't happen. But that doesn't excuse this kind of abusive treatment, what you're describing and what she describes. One of the things that we've seen before in criminal trials is the prosecution and the Department of Justice try to taint the jury pool before any evidence is heard in the trial and try to portray the accused as some sort of a monster so that they're ready to convict even before hearing the evidence. Does Ms. Maxwell believe that that's what's happening in her case?
Absolutely. And so does her family. We, for the CBS Paramount Plus series, we interviewed her brothers, Kevin and Ian, her sister, Isabel. As the head of the security, for example, was so convinced that she's not running away that he was willing to put part of a package bail deal, £1 million, which is like $1.3 million, only of his own money. And by the way, she was denied bail four times. And what are we talking about? I mean, hey, George Floyd's murderer got bail, Madoff got bail, Harvey Weinstein got bail. Now, she totally believes, Frank, it's a very good question, that she cannot get a fair trial because after these months and months and months of terrible publicity, calling her a monster and calling her everything, and documentaries, which, of course, nobody talked to. The family is breaking the silence with us on the CBS Paramount Plus series, but they have not spoken before beside her one brother, Ian, who is like the spokesperson of the family. So after months and months and months of one-sided publicity, how can you, Frank, find one juror who has not heard about Ghislaine Maxwell?
That's right.
And heard about her being described as a monster.
Now, we have seen photographs of her with world leaders like Bill Clinton. She was friendly with royalty like Prince Andrew. You quote her in this Daily Mail piece, though, as saying she objects to the term socialite. Why does she have a problem with that description of her, of the term socialite?
Socialite. What is socialite, Frank? I mean, you yourself are very social. We enjoyed you so much over breakfast, right?
I wouldn't mind being described as a socialite. No, however, no one seems wanting to describe me as a socialite, though.
I know. We have to tell them, right? Because you're very social.
Right.
So are Bill and I. And by the way, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, many of the people who are mentioned as her friends are my friends as well, and I am hosting dinners and lunches for people. Tomorrow, Bill and I are hosting a dinner for Sarah Sanders. Nobody would say that I'm a socialite. I'm very hardworking, and being social is part of our life, right? And we enjoy it. What I think they're trying to describe her in a very unflattering way, that, oh, she's not working. She was just a wealthy socialite because her father used to be rich, and then her boyfriend, Jeffrey, used to be rich, and the other boyfriend used to be rich. But Ghislaine was working from age of 15. She's a banker. She made her own money deals. And yes, she's very social. I can tell you that you see with my piece at the Daily Mail that even in the worst conditions, being detained for more than 500 days, she didn't lose her sense of humor. So you can just imagine that she was a ball of every party way before this horrific situation. And again, don't misunderstand me, Frank. If she did what she's being accused of, she should be punished and she should be rot in jail, because it's terrible to manipulate young girls and ruin their life. But you and I do not know that. I mean, if we knew that, why would we go through such a costly trial? Let's not forget our constitution. She is innocent until proven guilty. And if she's guilty, she should pay the price. But do we know that? We don't.
Well, you're exactly right, and I think that's if this kind of treatment is absolutely unconscionable in the United States. Now, does she think that she is being scapegoated because they don't have Jeffrey Epstein to convict because of this situation?
She absolutely thinks so. You nailed it, Frank. And as a proof is that until Jeffrey killed himself or was killed, and there are many theories about it, she was not charged with anything. And her attorneys talked to the authorities at all time, and they said, whenever you want her, she is willing to come and give you the facts that you want or answer questions. She was not asked to come when there was nothing against her. Even after he killed himself, when her head of security, Matt, begged her to leave the country, she refused because there was nothing against her. Her lawyers were communicating with the authorities until almost a year later she was arrested in this big hoo-ha-ha, you know, with the helicopters and everything. No, she definitely thinks that she is like the scapegoat for Jeffrey running away. And you know what? Look, even at the charges, she's not Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was a horrific pedophile who ruined so many lives. And let's see whether she was a complicit or not. We'll find out at the end of the trial. But Epstein, she's not.
Finally, Daphne, you alluded to the series, the documentary series you're doing for Paramount Plus on this case. When can people look forward to seeing that?
The series will be 4 hours on CBS Paramount Plus and ITV in the UK. It will be in February after the trial is over. However, tomorrow, Frank, they will start being, you'll start seeing clips on CBS in the morning. Then Entertainment Tonight, an extra from the interviews with their siblings for the first time. As I said, we decide the series will be at the end because we don't know. There may be a happy ending for Ghislaine, or there may be a happy ending for the victims.
All right.
I don't know.
Absolutely. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Daphne, I realize you are a hot commodity right now. I appreciate you making some time for us this morning.
And Bill says again, www.og2d.com. You can find the latest update about Ghislaine's trial.
All right, well, we will look forward to that. Daphne Barak, you can read the article in the Daily Mail on my Facebook page, facebook.com/MoranoFan.